الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. الله تبارك وتعالى discusses the issue of nikah now. So وَأَنْكِحُ الْعَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah تبارك وتعالى says those that are unmarried amongst you. Those that are unmarried are of two groups. One is what we call our sons and daughters. So obviously, if that girl wanted to get married, that boy wants to get married. In Islam, once they reach an age of maturity, they do make their marriage. They make a secret marriage, private marriage. Marriage takes place. But obviously they won't do it. And even if they do it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that girl who gets married without the permission of the one in charge of her, there will be no nikah. And in what kind? Marriage was for sukoon and solace, happiness. So there's absolutely nothing. So normally that girl, that boy, they're not going to get married. So who is being told? The father and the mother are being told, أَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. You will have to arrange for the marriage of your sons and daughters. That is understood. However, the second group of those who are being mentioned here is our fathers and mothers. Our sisters perhaps. Meaning someone who already was married. The one who was married and then they lost their spouse. The husband lost his wife, the wife lost the husband. That person in Islam, that person can make her or his nikah directly. There is no need that she must look for someone above, or he must look for someone above. But the reason why that person won't normally get married, because example, the father will feel that if I'm going to get married, my sons and my daughters are going to become upset. And they're going to say, how could you do this to mommy? And that natural love for the mother. Now, but the father wants to get married. Do you think he's going to go and tell his sons, hey, I need to get married? So Quran spoke to the sons and the daughters now. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. That in front of you, you found someone who's not married. You make the arrangements for that person's marriage. Yes, if that person then shows that he doesn't need to get married, then there's no problem. But many a time, a boy, a girl might think, that my father, I'll look after him. My mother, I'll look after her. But the time comes in old age where besides a spouse, there is certain khidmat that the person needs that nobody else can do. No son can do, no daughter can do. It's an aib, it's an ar, it's a disgrace. At that time, the person wants a partner. There's a time at night where your father is fast asleep or is alone in the room. He's not going to come and knock at your door and say, I'm looking for company, I can't sleep. At that time, he needs someone to be next to him. So Quran spoke on behalf of all. Behalf of the sons and daughters, O parents, get your children married. And on behalf of the parents, O sons and daughters, get your parents married also. And if you find anyone amongst you who is not married, make the arrangements. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. That is one. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala so beautifully said, إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَى. If they are poor. Mufassirin have mentioned one of two groups will be poor. And unique how Quran is. One sentence and how every aspect was covered. The one aspect is the boy that comes to see your daughter. He is poor. So normally a man wants to get his daughter married. So he says, where are the proposals? He opens the door. So from the different proposals that come, someone comes to you, but you're not happy with his wealth, with his financial position. إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَى. Allah Ta'ala says, if he comes to you and he hasn't got that financial means, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains it then. He said, إِذَا جَاءَكُم مَن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. That person comes to you, you're happy with his deen, you're happy with his character, but you're not happy with his financial position. He said, فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Make the nikah. إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَفْعَلُوتَ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. He said, if you're not going to do this, there will be open corruption in the world. A boy of good character comes to you, but he hasn't got a financial position. You are wealthy. Normally it's a wealthy man who looks for a wealthy boy for his daughter. But you are wealthy. In Darul Uloom Deoband, one of the special students of Shaykhul Hind was Allama Ubaidullah Sindhi Rahimullah. He was a boy who converted from the Hindu faith. Because of that, there was going to be no family who was going to look after him. And the manner he exerted himself in ilm, they say he would learn languages, like how we learn a page. So if he was told, I want you to go to Russia, he would learn the Russian language and then go and give da'wah. And he would give the da'wah so fluently in that language as though he had learned it from young. So he became the special student in the eyes of Shaykh al-Hind. So one rich man came to ask Shaykh al-Hind rahimullah, who was like the main ustad of Darul Uloom Deoband, "I'm looking for a good boy for my daughter." And a good boy means normally that someone who will be able to look after. So Shaykh al-Hind rahimullah pointed to Murana Ubaidullah Sindhi rahimullah. And said, "Better than this you will not find." So he himself says, when the day of the nikah came, he only had one cloth, meaning one kurta. So his friends, as a joke, they told him that, "How can you go for your nikah with a dirty kurta? So wash it." So he says, in his immaturity, he decided, "Let me wash it." But he never realized, if I have to wash it and it doesn't get dry by a certain time, what am I going to do? And that's what happened. So now he washed it, he's waiting for the thing, but it's not dry. And the Asr Salah is coming. Now what are you going to wear for your nikah? He says, when I walked in for my nikah with that water dripping from that cloth, he says, what must have been the condition of my future father-in-law? He says, but Almighty Allah blessed him with so much of mercy that he took pity over my condition. That was the beginning of my marriage, he said. What that man saw, that I'm not getting a rich boy in my house. I'm getting a boy of deen in my house. So at that moment, that father-in-law most likely made the intention that the financial worries of this boy, I'll take it. That he hasn't even got one cloth. We are going to worry of his business and how he look after my daughter. He can't even look after himself. So if that boy comes to you, Allah Ta'ala says, إِيَّكُونُوا fuqara. If you find the boy hasn't got that financial means to look after your daughter, you still take him in. يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Say, Allah will look after that boy and make him independent of the world. That is one. And the other one is your own son wants to get married. And he hasn't got the ability. But you, the father, you got the ability. So don't tell him that as long as you're not financially stable, as long as you haven't got your dog, as long as you don't do this, you don't do that. That boy starts counting, say, "Daddy, another 5 years you're talking about. I can't manage 5 more months. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you find that that person is not financially stable, put trust in your Allah and go front. يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah will make him independent of the world. However, one point ulama-e-kiram explained, one is this point, the niyyah, the importance of intention. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there are three people who when they go forth, Almighty Allah has taken it upon Himself to see to all their needs. So one, the different narrations mention, but one narration explains it like this, that the one who goes for Hajj, because he's gone for Hajj, it is obvious he is the mihman of Allah. So Almighty Allah sees to all his needs. The other one, some narrations explain a mukatab, which we will come to later on, but some narrations explain a mujahid in the path of Allah. He goes out giving his life for Allah, so obviously Almighty Allah will see to all his needs. He's gone out in the path of Allah. Someone will get the thought, "Hey, you know what? His children, let me buy something for them. Hey, the house needs something, let me get it." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes over. Both these people, however, they are in the path of Allah. The person who's gone for Hajj, where he's gone? He's gone to Allah. The man who's jihad fi sabilillah, he's in the path of Allah. But then the third one that comes is the unique one. An-nakihu yuridu al-afaf. A man who makes nikah. So he compared to the first two, what's the comparison? He's made a nikah. He's not in the path of Allah at all. But the only one condition was put, yuridu al-afaf. He makes the intention, "I want to look after my chastity." Many nikahs take place, but hardly this intention is put front. The intention of a nikah normally, if I get married, is that now to enjoy life. I got a partner, someone who will cook for me, I don't have to ask my mother. There are many things, everyone is getting married, now it's your turn, when are you getting married? But when you put this intention in front, al-afaf, that Allah, my desires, I can use it in a haram manner also. But for you, I want to only put it in halal. Yuridul afaf. The man who makes that intention of afaf, the narration says, Allah Tabarakallah takes it upon Himself, that I will see to all your needs.
So that's one. The second point is, what's the difference between wealth and ghina? Allah Tabarakala in this ayat never promised, I will make them the richest of the world. But Allah Tabarakala said, I'll make them independent. Yughnihimullah. Ghina is different from wealth. But because we live in a world where we only see the outside and we pass a ruling on the inside. So in our understanding, wealth means independence. And not having so much wealth means I'm dependent. Whereas we all know that there are many, many, many rich people who got so much outside. But at night that man is not sleeping because he doesn't know whether I'll manage to pay my debt tomorrow. He got a lot of wealth. He got a lot of debts with the wealth. He got a lot of problems also. He is borrowing more from the bank than anybody else in the world. So is he dependent of the world? He is not. He is the most dependent on his bank, on his card, on his phone, on everything, on his contacts. One person, I don't do what he wanted, suddenly he won't give me the tender. My whole business collapsed. He is not an independent person. He is dependent on the world, although he got wealth all over him. But he has been put in dependence. And there is another person who is independent but of Allah. His needs, he finds it from Allah Ta'ala. He lifts up his hand. He goes out early in the morning. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. That if you can trust Almighty Allah, how He's supposed to be trusted, لَرَزَكَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. Then He will provide for you like how He provides for the birds. That in the morning, يَغْدُو خِمَاسًا. That it goes out every morning with an empty stomach. وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. And every day when it returns with a full stomach. It finds it. That dependence on the Zat of Allah, independence from the world. This is asal maldari. This is asal wealth. Where you don't have to look at anyone else. It is only ma Allah who will provide. And Allah Tabarakala makes those people. So this is nikah. أَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. Go into the nikah. And Allah Tabarakala says, I will make sure you will be independent of the world. However, the next ayat is unique. And look at how Quran explains now in stage after stage. We gave the bayan. The father heard it. He went home, he told the mother, you know what? I think we'll get our son married. He said, you're mad? Suddenly old bayan is forgotten. Gone. Now that boy comes back and he says, Maulana, you'll have to speak to my father again. How many times are you going to speak? Now the boy says that my father don't want to listen. And then he says that because of that day, I'm going to do that now. I can't manage any longer. I can't hold on to. So when Allah Tabarakala spoke to the parents, now Almighty Allah speaks to the boy and the girl. That there will be many times when your parents will not be ready to listen. There will be many times when nikah will not be possible. So your shaitan will then say to you, your nafs, because my father doesn't want me to get married, I'm going to do it now. And the sin will be on his head. Allah Tabarakala says, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا. And as for the one who can't find nikah, meaning that facility is now not made for him for whatever reason it is, then don't fall for shaitan and say, now I have to do what I want to do. There is something called isti'afaf, iffat. Talabul iffat means look for your chastity. It is not only if I get married will I be pure. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab. He looked at a group of youngsters. He said, oh youngsters, whoever amongst you can get married, get married. But then a unique sentence he said, فَإِنَّهُ أَغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. It will help a lot in dropping the eye. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. It will help a lot in protecting the private part. By saying help a lot, what he showed, that there's no guarantee by getting married you'll be protected. It's going to help a lot, but you'll have to do a lot other things also. You will still have to protect your eye. You will still have to protect your thoughts. You will still have to protect your heart. You will still have to make dua. You will still have to control. So just like how there you will have to control, here also control. وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ طَلَبُ الْعِفَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, those that can't get the nikah now, says, your Allah is asking you to control yourself. Hold on, make sabr. حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ until Almighty Allah makes some arrangements for you. Something will happen, but a few days of sabr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, man atiqa. Itq means now the final of what is called deep in love. Where the person says, I can't sleep without thinking of her. I have to send the message. The girl says, if he leaves me, I'll cut my wrist. This is itq. That now you mad in love. Man ashiqa. Many a time a person feels when I get overcome with the desires of lust, then I must give in to the lust. Whereas it's not that. When you get overcome with the desires of lust, then Allah Ta'ala says, "Wal yasta'fif." Now is the time to hold, to control. This is the taqwa. Wal yasta'fif. Hold on. Man ashiqa. That person who goes deep in love. Now you want to send the message to the girl you love. That girl wants to tell the boy. She wants to reply to a message he sent to her. Because if I don't reply, he'll think I don't like him. Then he'll go to somebody else. She wants to, thumma katama. But in the love of Almighty Allah, the person doesn't. He doesn't expose that love. He doesn't make that phone call. He doesn't send that message. He doesn't approach that person. He holds. And it is not easy to hold. It is not a one day thing or two day thing. But the one who Allah Ta'ala allows, he gets covered up in a unique. Well, yasta'fif, Almighty Allah said, you try. Hold on and you will see suddenly your brakes are working. Because this whole ayah surah is teaching, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَن يَشَاءُ. That asal tazkiyah purity is from Allah. He gives it to who He wishes. And who Allah wishes, He wishes it for the one who wishes for himself. If you show that I will hold on pure, you will see suddenly purity will come. How that Sahabi radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can't control any longer. I want to make the zina. All he did is, instead of doing the zina, he brought himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on my chest. He gave me some advice and he made one dua. He said, after that, the thought of zina never even crossed the mind. But he made that effort, he came looking for purity. Wal yasta'fif, man atiqa, deep in love and lust. Thumma katama, but he holds it. Thumma mata. And in that sometimes it comes that you never get that girl your whole life. You die with that desire. Thumma mata. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. If you know the martyr in the battlefield, this man in the eyes of Almighty Allah is a martyr. That he sacrificed not 1 second, 2 second, days and days, when he starved. To be able to hold on is not easy. But that man who takes that step, Allah Ta'ala covers him with chastity. When he starved. Thereafter, the last two verses was regarding slaves. And the matter of slaves is hard to understand today. And the real Shani Muzul, the reason of the revelation was an issue of slavery. But because the manner Allah Ta'ala used, the words that were used, and the place that it was put on, a unique message can be taken from this. The first one got to do with what is known as a mukatab. A mukatab was a slave. In the past, they were slaves. Now that slave is in the market. And a slave wants to get married, the master will become upset sometimes. That if he is going to get married, how he is going to see to my needs? But Quran was speaking to the masters that you must put yourself in the shoes of the slave now. Speaking to me and you, that we live in a certain generation. So we are the old class. And our children are in a new era. Many a time we'll always tell them, if I did this, my grandfather will give me such a whacking. So the young son will say, Daddy, we're not in grandfather's time. Put yourself in my shoes. And then to see whether you'll manage also. Quran saying to the owners, go into the shoes of the slaves. That you married, you happy. Now your slave is in the market moving around. His eye will also fall on someone. Now he wants to get married, so he comes to tell the master, I need to get married. The master says to him that if you're going to get married, you're going to be more with your wife. Where are you going to get money for your wife? So then Shariat established a system what is called Mukatabah. Mukatabah means the slave comes to the master and says, I am ready to buy my freedom. So if I can go free, then I can get married and I can live a pure life. Now the master starts thinking, must I let him go free or not? So Almighty Allah here intercedes on behalf of the slave. Here it got to do with nikah. The real thing is that slave needs to get married. So Almighty Allah is interceding to the master. That if your slave comes to you and he says, I want to make this deal of mukataba, that I will pay you so much money, over so much time, so I can buy my freedom. Then Allah Ta'ala says, don't think twice, make it with him. He wants to look after his chastity. Now as that man is trying to pay off, in this game of mukataba, in this deal, every month you must pay so much. Now if by that month he can't pay that money, then it becomes that he is now helpless. If he proves himself helpless, the master has the chance of taking him back completely. But this is a slave who is really looking for his chastity. So Almighty Allah one interceded that make the deal with him. No problem. Now he's trying to pay, but he can't pay. Allah Ta'ala interceded second time. To show how much of intercession comes for the one looking for his chastity. Allah Ta'ala says, وَآتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. From the wealth Almighty Allah gave you, you can also give him some. The master was being told, and Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to do this. They would make a deal with the slave, 25,000. And on the first month they would say, okay, 5,000 you brought, okay, take this back, so you can pay next month. So one part of it they would immediately like make maaf, they would give it back to him. Their job was, some of them would hold it till the end, that if it proves after 4 months he's helpless and he can't pay, then whatever he paid me, I'll give it to him as a gift, and I'll tell him, now pay and go. So he paid. Others were told, if you find that person going around and he's looking for money, for what? To make his nikah, help him out. But what a unique message was left for the era when there's no slaves. Our era. That in your own circles, you don't have slaves, but you got workers. You earn 25,000, but the worker is only getting 5,000. You yourself know what the expenses are of nikah. And then looking after a family. Now you see your one worker, he's not getting married. So you tell him, you are a young boy, don't you want to get married? So he looks at you, he's a slave in your house in the end of the day. He can't marry, why? Because there's no money for him to marry. So Allah Ta'ala intercedes on behalf of the one who wants his chastity. That if he's looking for some wealth sometimes, you can use your wealth to see to his needs also. Ulama in today's era have started doing this. Certain organizations, certain people in our communities, they will not get their daughter married until that father has not got a certain amount of money. As long as that money doesn't come, she can be 35, 40, 45, she will not get married. That girl now, when you find that, then you tell that person, you know what, get your daughter married. He says, hey, no money, man. I haven't got furniture, I haven't got this, I haven't got that. So where we are giving charity in other places, a message comes from this ayat. That sometimes to look after the chastity of someone who wants their chastity, use the wealth which Allah gave you and spend it on them also. Make nikahs of others in this manner and you will see what a great ibadat it is. You have looked after the chastity of others. And thereafter the final then comes, وَلَا تُكْرِهُوا فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ إِنْ أَرَدْنَ تَحَصُّنًا لِتَبْتَهُوا عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This also originally was regarding slaves. But look at the wording, how it meant for every person. Original revelation of this verse was that amongst the Arabs there were different setups. One setup was a man with his slaves to earn money. He would allow them to become like prostitutes. And people then would go and sleep with that woman, either the money of that sleeping would come. They would not be Muslim people obviously. Or the girl would fall pregnant and on that child a lot of money could be made. So the first command was given, that the girls that are in your possession, don't force them onto the act of zina. In aradna tahassunan, when she herself wants to remain in a forced of purity. Just because you want this world. But obviously that wasn't going to refer to the believers, because no believer will force his slave girl on zina. However, the believer was told indirectly, don't force her onto zina. Indirectly forcing the slave girl onto zina was this, that your slave girl, the master is supposed to fulfill all her desires. Now the master perhaps is old, or he hasn't got time for her. She's a girl who's not protected in the house. She's going outside. Other boys are seeing her beauty. She's mixing freely with so many. But now when she tells the master, you know what, I want to get married. So the master will give her one slap. You see, you came to get married here. Allah Ta'ala says, that young girl that's under you, don't force her into zina. She wants to look after herself, you only worried of your dunya. That you yourself not fulfilling her desires, she wants to get married, allow the nikah. But now the time came when there's no slave girl. But look at the wording of this verse. Allah Ta'ala never used the word ima, slave girl. He used fatayat. Fatayat originally means young girl. The young girls which are under your care. Originally it was a slave because it was the slaves sent out in the world to work. It was their scarves that were taken out. It was their faces that were shown to others. They had the biggest chance of falling into zina. So the masters were told, don't force them into zina. If they want to get married, let them. In today's time, unfortunately, there's no slave girls. But our daughters were transformed into that slave girl. The Western world took out their scarf. It took out their niqab. And me and you happily, we send them into the world of boys and girls. Into the world of open men. We send them into the market. Now obviously her desires will start playing games on her. And a time will come where your daughter will say, a daughter will hardly tell the father, Daddy, I want to get married. Boys tell, Daddy, I need to get married. When your girl says, Daddy, I need to get married, it means she's on the brink of zina. Look at this verse where Allah Ta'ala says, لا تكرهوا فتياتكم على البغاء. One is, don't send them into the universities where indirectly you're forcing your young girls into zina. To zina. Don't send them. إن أردنا تحسنًا, especially when they themselves say, I think I'll stay at home. تحسنًا means I'll stay in the fort. لِتَبْتَهُ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Almighty Allah says, just because you're looking for your world, you're putting your girl in such a condition. And if that girl is in the school, in the university, she's working, she's not supposed to be there, but she went, now she comes and she says, Daddy, I need to get married. لَا تُكْرِهُ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ. What a unique verse. Don't force that young girl into zina. She's asking now to be protected in a fort. لِتَبْتَهُ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Just so you can make a few extra rand, allow her to get married. La tukrihu. So how unique Allah Ta'ala explained the issue of nikah. That don't hold back. Nikah is a thing that must be done. It's the shi'ar of Islam. And we must go out of our way to make it. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all understanding.